Again, welcome to Freedom. It's good to see you here today. And to those of you who are joining us online, whether it's live or you're catching this later in the week, we're really glad to have you be a part of Freedom Online. Tony, can I just ask a favor? Would you and the band be willing to just plan to reprise that last song in the response time to begin that? That song just so articulates my heart, and I hope for us as a church, the cry of our hearts. And I am sorry, but his presence has just got me torn up. I am a hot mess from his. I live afraid a lot of times that it would be very possible and very easy for me to be the biggest barrier to what God wants to do in this fellowship. And I mean that not just in a general theoretical way. So much of what we do has my fingerprints on it. As your pastor, I mean, it's bound to be that way. And when we worship, I love the Word, and I love to teach the Word, and there's a real place for that. There's real importance to that. But nothing replaces the manifest presence of God among His people. Good music, man, that's a gift. Sound teaching is a gift and a blessing. But I'm so afraid that we get comfortable with that, and that we would settle for that, and that we would come to the place that that's all we expect, and that we actually get trained to have an appetite just for that. That the music will be good, and that the teaching will be sound, and that we'll learn something. And I'm glad. I mean, I hope we learn something. I love that the music's good. But my heart is grieved at the thought that God desires so much more so many times. And I don't know about you, but I feel like a first grader in so many ways. I mean, today's a prime example. I feel His presence. I feel the stirring of His Spirit. And I long to respond to that. I have a responsibility with you. I long to be certain that I don't take us off course from what He's wanting to say and do today. And yet I feel like the first grader that doesn't even begin to know what all they don't know. That's just a beginner, and my heart just cries out, like I said, with the words of that last worship song. Your glory, Lord, is what our hearts long for. I love these people, and I love being with them, and I love this music, and I love teaching your word, but there's something I love more than all that rolled together, and that's you. That's when you show up in my life. That's when you show up in this place. That's when you heal hearts and restore lives and you set people free. So if I've ever lowered the bar by causing you to come in with the expectation that a long sermon where you learn something is as good as it could be, I'm sorry and I repent. I mean that. Because His presence, His glory, and Him getting glory, and just Him moving freely in our lives, boy, that is ultimately what we long for in this place. So, this is the worst lead into a sermon ever, but I just want to ask you to, if you need it, to just reset your heart this morning, to reset your expectations at this point. Maybe we could just stop and pray and just seek to do that. That our goal wouldn't be to just learn something new today or to just study a passage today, but that today our hearts would just be set on nothing but a fresh encounter with God. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you are so good. We want to know you. We love your word and we love your family. Thank you for how you use these in our lives. But we want to know you. And so many of us have settled for a long time with just knowing some things about you. We've settled for teaching about you and reading about you. But we want to know you. We want to see the fullness of your life expressed in us and in this fellowship. And we get lost at times in knowing how to position ourselves to hear from you and to really pour our hearts out to you. And so we ask you today for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that we would be enabled to lift our eyes above where we normally set our gaze, that we could look to you, the unseen one, that our ears could be tuned in to more than just a preacher's voice, but that we could truly hear your voice speaking to us. We love you and we need you and we invite you to do a fresh work among us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would sow among us a sense of holy discontentment. That we just could not ever settle for just going to church and just doing church. That we would be a people who press in, always pressing in for more of you. Holy Spirit, would you finish what you've started here among us. We welcome your work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. We are in a series, as John alluded to earlier, that is all about the goodness of God from start to finish. September and October is going to be good news. And we actually will get into just the first verse of the 23rd Psalm. It's a wonderful verse. I think it's the very first verse I ever memorized from the Bible as a preschooler. We probably pretty much all know and could say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Boy, that is a passage about the goodness of God, isn't it? About the provision of God. Well, we want to press into that, and there are a couple of basic truths about God that I want to hold before us before we press into the text, and they're in your outlines. If you want to use that to follow along, that's fine. The first one is simply this, that God is the source of everything that I need to live and be happy. I don't know how easily we really accept and believe that. I think we believe half of that, don't we? God is the source of everything I need to live. I'm just not sure we're convinced of the other half of that. That God is the source of everything I need to live and be happy. That in Him, I'll find everything that I need. And I don't need a lot of other stuff to find my security. It's all in Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Now, we're going to talk for a little while today about God being your shepherd. And the problem for that is, I doubt anybody here has got a best friend who's a shepherd. There's probably nobody who your summer job when you were in college was to be a shepherd. That's a little unfamiliar to us. But you don't have to have grown up in a third world country to appreciate what a shepherd is or does. For starters, if you just know anything about sheep, it'll help you a whole lot to recognize sheep are pretty much helpless, defenseless, dumb animals. They aren't predators toward anything else because they're so harmless. They don't have the big incisors, so they're not going to attack anything. They can't run fast, so they can't get away. They're helpless. They need somebody to protect them, somebody to lead them so that they'll find what to eat and what to drink, and somebody to get them out of trouble. And so when the Scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd," it tells us a couple of things. One, it's a reminder to us that we are sheep. We are very much like sheep. We'll get into trouble left to our own plan, and we do need somebody else looking out for us. And so the bottom line, when you think about what does it mean for God to be your shepherd? Well, He's just like an earthly shepherd in that you can count on Him to lead, to feed, and to meet needs. That's what shepherds do. They lead the sheep where they need to go. They make sure that they get fed. They make sure that their needs are taken care of. And this is what God wants to be and do in your life. Whatever you need, He wants to supply it. If you need encouragement, He wants to supply it. You need comfort, He wants to give it. You need correction, He'll give it. You need prayer, He'll give it. God wants to be the shepherd in your life. And the second truth is just this, that God doesn't want me and doesn't want you worrying about anything. Because He's your shepherd, you don't have to. Now, I don't know about you, but I can hear that line and think, great, sure, right. Never worry about anything. And yet, that's exactly what God wants for you. Now, here's the good news about the message for today is the Lord wants you to walk out of this place with whatever load you're carrying in terms of worry and stress gone. He wants to take that off of you today. And I don't say this as like a word that has anything to do with me or Tony or the worship team. There are just moments that we don't have control over. And it's particularly true, I mean, I recognize it in worship. There are just days that come along where the Holy Spirit just says, it's happening today. There is an outpouring today for people to get healed or people to get free or for hearts to be mended or for loads to be lifted. And He said it today. And I'm just being honest with you. I haven't heard that in a while. I mean, it's been some months since I've heard that word from the Holy Spirit. It's happening today. Now, you can get in on it, or you can sit back and go, well, that was nice, and just walk out the door. But the spout is being turned on today for some loads to be lifted and hearts to be set free. And I just know in my spirit that there are some people that have come in that are just carrying a load of worry and stress and anxiety and fear. And it's going to have little or nothing to do with the message that I'm preaching you today. It doesn't, I mean, like, I realize if you were sitting here evaluating my sermon, you're going, wow, he's getting about a D minus so far. I mean, this is not a hot one. The good news is it doesn't have anything to do with my sermon. It just has everything to do with the presence of the Spirit of God here today to meet your needs and to free your burdens. And the good news is this, God doesn't want you today or any day in the future to have to worry about anything again. And that may sound so crazy and impossible. It's not. I mean, He wants you to land at a place where you are so convinced of your position as a child of God, with God as your Father and as your shepherd, that whatever comes along, that you're just able to rest in the fact that God's my shepherd. So I have all that I need. I need leadership. He's going to give it. I need provision. It's taken care of. Nothing caught Him off guard. And I can just rest in that. Doesn't want you to worry about anything. Now, Jesus talked a lot about this issue of the loads that we carry and the worries that are on us. And in your outline, I just mentioned to you some of the reasons that Jesus laid out for why we've just got to buy into this thing of not worrying and learning to trust God. And that's really all I'm going to do with the rest of the message I'm going to share today, is to share two things with you. Why this worry thing's a big deal, that we've got to let it go, and then just in simple, tangible ways, how do I actively trust God rather than worrying about my stuff or my kids or my finances and future? So, first of all, just a word from Jesus about why He tells me not to worry. Well, first of all, because it's unreasonable and it's unnatural. It doesn't make any sense. If God's my shepherd and God's my Father and God's committed to do all these things, it's so illogical. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's what we're going to focus on for the next few minutes, He said several things about worry. He said That's why I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing, yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. He's just helping us understand it doesn't make any sense to worry about stuff. God has demonstrated how completely capable He is of taking care of everything that He's made in a way that is really... He compares the lilies of the field to Solomon because it's like, well, that's as high a standard as you could have. He was the richest, smartest guy, and he was the richest man of anybody on earth in his lifetime. So you can just imagine he dressed himself more regally than anybody on earth. And he's like, on his best day, he couldn't match how God clothes the lilies of the field. And they're only going to be there a couple of days. And yet God just pours out His extravagance on them. And the birds, I mean, these things don't have brains the size of a piece of gum. And yet, and they don't work, and they don't save. And yet God just goes, yeah, I feed them all. I feed them all every day because this is just how I take care of what I've made. So why are you worried? Why do you worry about all of these things? And it's, I mean, part of what Jesus is helping us see is how it's so unnatural. Do you ever just stop to think that we are the, of all the vast array of things that God ever made, we are the only creature that worries? Ants don't worry. Cows don't worry. Dogs don't worry. I mean, I was thinking about my dog this morning, Max. He just, every day when you come in, he's never stressed out. He's never like, I bet there's not going to be any food in my bowl today. I bet there's not going to be any water. I bet they're not going to remember to take me out today. It's going to be a bad... No, every day his tail's just wagging. It's going to be a great day. It's the way it's just the look on his face. I'm like, that's just a picture of how creation responds to life and to God. If I could just have Max's outlook on life, it's just... It's going to be a great day because God is in control, because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to have all that I need. We are the only creature God ever made that stresses about whether God's going to come through and provide what we need. How weird is that? It's extra weird when you consider God loves all of His creatures, the plants, the animals. He loves everything that He made. But what He feels toward us just puts everything else to shame because we're His children. We're not just His creation. We are His sons and daughters. So it's just so incredibly unnatural. And by the way, you weren't made to carry it. You weren't made to be able to tolerate worry. And that's why it messes us up and makes us sick. The second thing we'll say is that worry is just, it's unhelpful and it's unnecessary. It's useless. It doesn't work. I mean, have you ever noticed that? It never makes anything better. Fretting about it, stewing about it, nothing gets better as a result of it. You don't get any taller as a result. You don't get any skinnier as a result. You don't live longer. In fact, you probably live shorter. In fact, Jesus said in the same passage, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? No. In other words, you can't accomplish anything by worry. And so, you think about how that applies to whatever you worry about. A lot of parents and grandparents in the room. So we love to worry about our kids and our grandkids, don't we? Worry, worry, worry over them. I mean, we could all make a list of the things we're worried about for our kids and grandkids. And at the end of the day, we never improve the quality of their lives or their circumstances with our worry. It just, worry is totally ineffective. Proverbs 12:25 says this, worry a person down. Can I get a testimony? I mean, is that not the truth? Worry just weighs you down. I mean, some people, you came in the room today weighed down because of worry. Some of you didn't make it in the room today. You're watching and listening online because just, the load was too heavy. I'm not putting you down. I get it. Life's just overwhelming. You're carrying too heavy of a load. Worry will wear you down. It'll make you sick. I was I don't know if I was born this way or if I grew into it really fast, but I was as big of a worry wart growing up as anybody I've ever known as a child. I mean, like, I wonder about it. I'm like, where did that come from? Was I just born that way? I mean, you just don't know what a basket case of worry I was for the first half of my life. I mean, crazy stuff. And worry will always come out physically. Because you weren't made to carry it, your body can't contain it. My doctor was actually talking to me about this recently. He said, it's going to come out. If you're carrying stress and worry, you're going to either have migraines or neck problems or back pain or stomach problems or skin issues. I mean, it's going to come out of you. And I'm just thinking, you're talking about the first half of my life. I can remember in grade school, I'm talking fourth grade, fifth grade, I was just a tied up bunch of knots. I had the most stable home life that you could imagine. Parents who loved me, healthy. I had a great life, and yet I was just a bundle of worry. Yet, I still don't even understand this, but I used to get, in grade school, like fourth grade, I would get these terrible water blisters on my hands where, like, I couldn't write or hardly use my hands for days or weeks at a time. And all the doctor could ever say was, this kid's just so eaten up with stress and worry. It just, the way it comes out on him is through skin conditions. I'm like, how does a fourth grader get that stressed out? Let me tell you, I didn't outgrow it in middle school or high school. I just graduated on to adult life and married life and learned to worry about other things. Money being the number one thing. You know, you start out young, married, you're broke all the time, and you're just imagining how terrible things are fixing to get financially. I mean, by the time I was 26 years old, the year that I would graduate from divinity school, take my first full-time position in ministry, it had so overwhelmed me that I found myself in the hospital with a stomach ulcer, just could not function because worry and stress had me so tied up in knots. I was dealing with three jobs and grad school and a new baby and just all these different things put together. And I'm just stressed over all of it, and I could not function. And at 26, that was the breaking point for me. My life changed as a 26-year-old. I've been a believer for a bunch of years at that point. Being saved doesn't take away your worry, does it? Don't you wish that was automatic? Rooms full of saved people that are eaten up with worry. I mean, we all know this reality. But as a 26-year-old realizing, I can't go on in life like this. I'll die a young man, and I'll be miserable until I die if something doesn't change. And a realization began to set in on me about the terrible lie that I was living. That I'm teaching and preaching all the time about trusting God, and yet I was a practical atheist. Oh, I mean, I believed in God. I certainly believed in God. Although I will say, in earlier stages of my life as a teen, I let worry come into my faith to the point that I worried about, but what if God isn't real, and what if the Bible isn't true, and what if I wasn't sincere when I prayed the prayer, and what if I'm really going to hell? I mean, I would worry myself into a hellish experience worrying that I was going to hell as a child of God. Some of you can relate to that. Some of you are as big a worry warts as me. But at 26, the Lord just did a work in my life of making me realize I was living as a practical atheist. I was doing all the right stuff. And in my head and heart, believed the right stuff. But then I lived and functioned as if there was no God taking care of me. As if it were all up to me to take care of my family, to fix my marriage, to provide for my kids, to be a success in ministry, to help all these people. I was living like there was no God. And that created a terrible burden for me, and I got sick as a result. But as a 26-year-old, I began to put into practice the things that I'm about. And it's... Dave, do I need to... We'll see if this works better. As a 26-year-old, I began to put into practice the things that I'm about to share with you. Only unbelievers get to worry about these kinds of things. Now, we said this last week. We really get to rest in the goodness of God and the provision of God when we come to understand that all these good things that God wants to bring into your life, they don't get passed on to you because of your goodness. It's because of His goodness. Isn't that so hard to get that from here down to here? Just that simple truth. That God wants to lavish so many good things on you, not because of how good you've been, how hard you've tried, how much you have improved. He doesn't want to do it because of your goodness. He wants to do these things because of His goodness. And because you're just His kid. I mean, think about as a parent, all the things that you did for your kids, not because they were good. You just did them because they're your kids and you love them. And it's just natural that you want to do these things for your kids. So it's such a relief to rest in that. And it's a declaration of our faith in God as our Father and as our Shepherd. But now I will say this. I'm not talking down to anybody when I say this. It's just there's a time to speak the truth. If you haven't stepped across the line of faith, and any time we're assembled as a gathering on Sunday morning, people watching and listening online, there are always some among us who are still contemplating that. You haven't crossed that line. You're still thinking about becoming a person of faith. You haven't yet received the forgiveness of God. You haven't come into the family of God. If you haven't done that yet, I'm going to give you a pass. You have permission to worry. In fact, you have more than permission. You should worry. You should. Because there's a lot to worry about. Because God isn't your Father. And the promises of God to His children do not apply to you yet. And the future that awaits you, if you don't step across the line of faith, is cause for much worry. So that sounds like a scare tactic. It's not intended as a scare tactic. I'm just trying to talk straight to you. I want you to be clear. The things that we're talking about apply to those who trust Jesus as Savior and follow Him as Lord. Then we can rest in all this. But until you do that, permission granted, worry, worry, worry. Because it's on you. It's up to you to carry the load. It's up to you to fix your future, and you can't. But the good news is you can remedy that today. And you don't have to worry another day. You don't have to go home stressed about this. And the beginning point of stepping across that line is simply being able to acknowledge, God, I get it. You are God, and I am not. And there are things that I can't do because I'm not God. And we're not talking about creating the world. I can't solve my own biggest problems. I may have spent a lifetime trying, but I can't. I can't overcome the problem of sin and evil and selfishness in my own life. And I need You, God, to deal with all of this that I can't. And the moment that we do that, the moment we trust Him with those things, for Him to come in and forgive and to begin to remedy that, it's amazing how it just begins to lift the load of worry and stress from us, that now that belongs to Him. That's good news. Jesus said to His disciples in John 14:1, don't be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in Me. Those are exact opposites. You can trust Jesus or you can worry. In every situation where we're tempted to worry, it really does boil down to a choice. You know, I can pray about it or I can stress about it. I can worry or I can worship. I can either focus on God or I can focus on the problem and be freaked out by it. So what do I do? What do you do if I'm a worry wart? What do you do if your story is like my story was for the first half of my life? How do you, in practical ways, begin to move from being this stressed-out worry ball to being a person who really does learn to trust Jesus? Well, I'm going to just mention four things to you. These aren't going to be outlandish. They're not going to be unreachable. These are things you can begin to just press into today. The first one is simply this. How do I trust Jesus to meet my needs instead of worrying and stressing? Number one, every day ask Him to be my shepherd. How hard is that? I mean literally, make this your practice. when the alarm goes off in the morning or when you just wake up in the morning, before you let your feet hit the floor, you take just a moment to say, God, I know you're good, and I need you to be my shepherd today. I need you to lead me, feed me, meet my needs. And then you move on. And as many times as you need to through the day, when you're fixing to go into a difficult meeting, you're fixing to go into a parent-teacher conference, you're fixing to have to make a significant decision, and you feel yourself starting to worry about that, you just stop and right there go, oh, Jesus, I need you, and I trust you to be my shepherd today. And then move on. And he'll be faithful to that. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. And I give up my life for my sheep. Jesus is the one who is the shepherd of your life. And any moment when your heart wants to question whether Jesus would actually come through and meet your need in that moment, you just pause and remember, he's not just the shepherd who shows up with a stick to prod you to move along. He's the shepherd who gave his life up so that you could live. And so any moment that you might want to doubt whether or not he'd come through, you remember how he's already demonstrated the depth of his love for you. I really want you to leave with two memory verses today. We don't do a lot of memory work around here, but there are some scriptures that we need to carry that are just so in our hearts and in our heads that they just roll off, that we can meditate on them. The first one, obviously, is the opening of the 23rd Psalm. Let's back up and say that one together. I meant for us to do it together. So if you need the prompt of being able to look at your outline, you can go back up to the beginning of the outline. First, let's just do Psalm 23:1 together. Let's say it aloud together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. All right. Now with some heart behind it. One more time. Now, if you just keep saying that again and again and again, it'll eventually begin to drip from here down to here. I have all that I need in him. Now, can I give you a corollary verse to that that just becomes a prayer for you to use throughout the day? It's Psalm 28:9. You'll see it in your outline there. I want us to say this one together. Are you with me? It's under point number one there, Psalm 28:9. Let's say it together. Come save us and bless us. Be our shepherd and always carry us in your arms. One more time. Come save us and bless us. Be our shepherd and always carry us in your arms. Isn't that a wonderful prayer to pray? Lord, I mean, you can just let that one all out in one breath. Come save us and bless us and always be our shepherd and carry us in your arms. Do you remember being a little kid and just going wide open at whatever it was that you really loved to do to the point that you would just hit complete exhaustion, have nothing left, and your mom or dad just scooping you up in their arms and having to carry you back home? You remember what that was like? I mean, like some of my earliest memories as a kid would be of me getting to ride on my dad's shoulders when we'd go out to the farm and we'd just play long and hard, and my little preschool legs would give out. He'd pick me up and set me on his shoulders, you know, with a leg draped around either side. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, to be carried by my dad on his shoulders. The Lord is our shepherd, and he will carry us when we can't carry ourselves. Sometimes when your tank is empty, either because you're physically done, or more importantly, when you are just emotionally tapped out, you got nothing left, you just pray this prayer. Jesus, I need you today to be my shepherd, and I need you to just carry me. I need you to carry me back home. I need you to carry me to the end of the day, because I am out. I have no energy. I have no reserve, and I need you to carry me. That's a great prayer, isn't it? And he'll show up because he's committed to meet your needs. The second thing that you do is this. I must give Jesus first place in every area of my life. It's really easy to say, oh, yeah, Jesus is number one, but it is a lot more challenging to give him run of the entire house, isn't it? It's really comfortable in church to go, oh, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. You can have the living room and the kitchen and the den. You be Lord of all of my life. But don't mess with what happens in the bedroom. And I got a closet with some stuff hidden away over there. I don't want you messing with that either. But you can be Lord of all the rest of my life. That doesn't cut it. Because whatever you don't make him Lord of, you still carry, so you still worry about that. If you don't believe it, try it out. You let there be a relationship that's the one thing that you won't let him be the Lord of, because you're afraid he might mess with that. He might change it up. So I'm going to hang on to that. And you tell me you don't wind up stressing yourself sick over that relationship. Jesus spelled it out in verses 32 and 33. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them, the them being all these things you stress and worry about. He knows that you need all that. And he will give them to you, what? If. Everybody say if. Ooh, he'll give. That's a big two-letter word right there. That means this is conditional. The promise of God being your shepherd who provides for all of your needs is conditional on this one thing. If you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. And I know some of us on hearing that go, rats, well, this sermon's out the window for me then. That means I'd have to live a perfect life. I got to do all the right stuff. No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't mean that. You're going to screw up. You're going to blow it this week, just like I'm going to blow it this week. You're going to mess up. It doesn't mean anything to do with moral perfection. What it does mean is that you really just expose all that you know of your life to Jesus and say, I truly want to honor you in every facet, in every relationship, in how I manage my money, and how I spend my time. I want you to be Lord of everything. I trust you're not trying to make a freak out of me, but I want you to be able to lead and influence every part of who I am and what I do. I won't always get it right, but I am committed to this. When I recognize your leadership, I'm going to do my best to follow it. And when I realize I've just done something that was completely selfish or hurtful or it dishonored you or I failed to follow your leading, I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn back to you. I'm going to admit it for what it is. That was sin. I was wrong. I want to do this right the next time. Will you help me to do that? Does that sound unattainable to you? Audience participation time. Does that sound unattainable? I think we're a mixed response on that. I get it. That didn't get a hearty, no. I get it. It's okay. It's okay for us to wrestle with that, because some of us are kind of freaked out because it's like, yeah, that sounds good in theory, but there's a couple of things in my life I'm pretty sure Jesus is going to mess with. He probably will. He messes with us. He doesn't just leave us where we are. He messes with our stuff. But it's always in a way that's for his glory and our good. So it's okay to trust him with that. It's okay to come a little bit afraid. It's okay. In time, he'll help us get past that. But I've got to be willing to say, Jesus, I do want you to be Lord over all of it. The third thing that we've got to do is slow down, relax, and give him our worries in prayer. Consciously say, Jesus, I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm worried about this. I'm just telling you that this has got me stressed. This has got me concerned. And so I'm bringing it to you. So you can worry about it. You can deal with it. Peter, in 1 Peter 5:7, said this, give all your cares and worries to God, for he cares about you. Now, there are times in our lives where it's a good thing to write down our blessings and the things that we're thankful to God for. But occasionally, you may realize that you just have such an overwhelming sense of like an unclarified stress and worry that you just need to sit down with pad and paper and just ask the question and start writing out the answers. What am I feeling so stressed about? Make yourself have to clarify. I mean, do you ever do what I'm talking about? Do you ever just have this sense of like, I kind of feel that ball, that knot in my stomach. I don't know why. I'm just worried. I'm just stressed. I don't even know what it's about, but it's there and it's real. Okay. If you just can't, in a generic way, give that to God, just slow down. Get still in the Lord's presence. Ask him to give you some clarity and insight into your own life. And just start asking, okay, what am I afraid of? What am I worried about? And just start spelling those things out. And be as specific as you can when you recognize that I am afraid I'm going to live the rest of my life alone. I'm afraid I'm never going to be able to have a child. I'm afraid I'm one day going to go broke and lose my house, or one day my kids are going to go away and my life's going to be empty and sad and lonely. But whatever it is, get it on paper and then just go, God, all right, you said I could cast my cares on you because you care. So here's my stuff. I give it to you. Now you worry about those things. And every time they come back up to me, I'm just going to hand it back over to you. I've shared this with you at times in the past, but I love in my personal prayer time, oftentimes to begin with the palms down, palm up thing. I'm just going to start, you know, I'll just kind of bend over, seated with my forearms on my thighs, and just in that position, Lord, I just begin palms down. All the things that I'm worried about, that I want to stress about, and if I have to name them off, Lord, I'm just palms down. I'm letting go. I'm giving them to you. And when I get through giving him my junk and my worries, now I'm just turning palms up. And now I position myself to receive. To receive your provision. To receive your peace, your wisdom. Whatever I need to deal with that. And it just takes some intentionality. And it takes a little bit of time. That's why we said, you got to relax and slow down. Here's a simple fact of life. The faster you go, the more you're probably tangled up with worry. You realize this part of the curse of our culture is that we go, 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 go. And the more you go and the faster you go, the more we get tangled up with stress and worry. We've got to have some intentionality about setting the pace of our lives, allowing margin so that we have time to be still in the presence of God. Because, I mean, here's part of the deal. When you go fast, you just don't, we typically won't slow down long enough to just get still in God's presence and to do the personal inventory, to just see where we stand and how we're doing and what we're carrying and what we need to do in relation to God and what we need to give to God and what we need to receive from Him. And you don't need 3 hours to do this. You probably don't need an hour to do this. A lot of times it's a block of a few minutes, but you've still got to be intentional enough to slow down to do that and to live out the reality of what Paul said in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. And isn't it crazy how true that passage is? That when we begin to live in this reality where whatever it is that we would naturally stress about, we just slow down, we just pray it back to God, we give it back to God, and how His peace just settles over us, however big the thing may be. You know, you get that dreaded phone call where a close family member or a friend has suddenly been killed in an accident. And it's in so many ways, it's a life-changing thing. And yet, you have this crazy sense of peace wash over you because the Lord's your shepherd. And He's carrying you through this. And even though it was terrible news, you just have this peace in the middle of it. You get a medical report back and it's the word you never wanted to hear in your life. They're using the C word about you. And it's the thing you had most feared ever hearing in your life. And yet, there's this crazy peace that doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, I was transparent with y'all last year when I was going through stuff that, quite honestly, is still unresolved in my life medically, where I went to the doctor for what I thought was a really minor thing and had put off even asking a doctor about it. And he didn't like the sound of it, and he started talking about scary stuff. And I'm thinking, nah, wouldn't be anything like that. And then they ran tests, and you never like it when your doctor looks scared when they come back in with the lab results. And he did. I mean, the day he came back in with the lab stuff, he's just shaking his head going, I would have never believed I'd see anything like this on you. You just seem too healthy. And I'll confess, in the moment, he freaked me out for a bit. You know what actually freaked me out? I've never seen a doctor do this before, and I'm not even sure why he did it. He came, I'm not kidding, I'm in just the little exam room that we've all been in 100 times. He comes in the exam room, and he closes the door, and he takes a chair and puts it under the knob of the door and says, take your clothes off, this is serious. We're checking you out now. And I'm like, I didn't think that was the protocol for anything. But... there was nothing freaky about it. He didn't like not take all your clothes off, but he's just like, the bottom line was, he had this scared look in his eyes, and he's like, something is bad wrong with you. Nobody's coming in and interrupting us until I have checked you from head to toe, because something is really wrong here. And it's like, I never had a doctor do this before. Should we be concerned? And you know, from there, I'm going to refer you to an oncologist, and then he starts naming off 2 really bad forms of cancer. Not there any good ones, but a couple of really bad forms of cancer, and he's like, there are some other really bad things that could be, but we're going to rule them out. And before long, with tests, they ruled everything else out. And he's like, these are pretty much the only 2 things left that it can explain your numbers. You're supposed to be between 0 and 30, and you're over 5,000. this doesn't ever happen. This is bad. We may need to ship you off to Little Rock or to Houston. And time after, you know, he's like, first we're going to send you back for more tests because these tests just can't be right. And sends me back again and again and again, and just stays in the thousands. And he's like, we may have to ship you off someplace where they specialize in these things. And on the surface of that, even just telling you that, I think, that sounds really scary. And yet it really wasn't. Because there was just this overwhelming sense that the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And my shepherd has already spoken protection over me concerning this issue. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me. I don't have to sweat this. Now, to this day, I still go back for the blood work. Went back to one of my two regular doctors last month, and he did the test. You never want your doctor to say this. He said, I have never, guy's been practicing medicine for decades. He says, I have never had a patient with readings like this. I'm like, I got you, doc. I can't do anything about it. I don't think it's changing. We've tested it like 12 times now, and I don't expect it to change. I have come to realize I just get to walk around in divine health. I'm sorry, I can't get my numbers anywhere close to normal. So I'll just be abnormal for the rest of my life. Just call me Abby. I'm just abnormal. But you know what? I don't waste an hour of any day stressing over that. Because the Lord's my shepherd and I have all that I need. And you may say, preacher's in denial. We need to get him some help. I'm not. I get what they're saying. But they've sent me to everybody and done all the tests, and they can't find anything wrong with me because I don't think there is anything wrong with me. God's already spoken over this. And I just remind you of that whole crazy thing that went on last year with me to say there's something either going on in your life or that'll come along one day in your life that will feel like, greatest fear falling on me right now. How am I going to deal with this? You just every day look to Jesus to be your shepherd, to lead, to feed, and to meet your needs. And there is an incredible peace that just washes over you. And every time you start to stress or worry, you can just give it back to him, confess it to him. You don't need to repress it or hide it. You just confess it out loud. And it's amazing how he translates that into peace. And the fourth and final thing that you do in living this out is you just trust him for one day at a time. You can't live this and borrow tomorrow's worries. We've got to live just in today's stuff. In the same passage, Jesus concludes it by saying in verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. You have enough to worry about today. Can anybody agree with that verse? You have enough to worry about today. Jesus is essentially saying, don't walk around with your umbrella open until it starts to rain. You ever known people that live their life that way? I mean, figuratively speaking, they just walk around in a raincoat and umbrella all the time because it's like, yeah, the sun may be shining right now, but I know it's going to rain any day now. Well, you ought to have an umbrella and a raincoat, but don't wear them all the time. Don't break out the umbrella until it's raining. Jesus said, you quit worrying about what the weather's going to do tomorrow and what life's going to bring you tomorrow. You live in today. You can't fix what's happened in the past, and you can't force what's going to happen in the future. You just have to live in the present. You trust God for today. You take it one day at a time. A couple of important truths about this. If you worry about tomorrow's problems, you will miss today's blessings. I'm going to say that one again because that's an important one. If you worry about tomorrow's problems, but how's this going to turn out? What's my child going to do when? What's going to happen when the money runs out? What are we going to do when it's time to retire? What are we going to do when it's time to send the kids off to college? What about all this stuff in the future? If you spend your life worried about tomorrow's problems, you will miss today's blessings. And the second thing related to that is you can't solve tomorrow's problems with today's power. So why waste your time trying? That's why Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Give us what we're going to need today to deal with today's problems, and we'll trust you with the future. Now, let me be clear as your pastor, because I want to give you the full counsel of this. That doesn't mean you don't plan for tomorrow. There's a lot in the Bible about planning for tomorrow. The Proverbs talks a lot about this. Only the foolish person doesn't plan and prepare for tomorrow. It's great and biblical to plan. It's bad to worry. So we have to learn the difference. We have a plan for the future, but we don't fret about the future. Now, there is one final practical specific note that I just want to say in all fairness. With this many people in the room, the number of people who will watch and listen online this week, there is a percentage of among us and of our population in America that struggle with something more than just normal worry, who struggle with chronic anxiety, chronic issues of worry that are overwhelming, that aren't just the normal stuff. And if all you did was just try and do what I said, you'd still be at a bad place because there's an imbalance and there's chemically and there are things going on. And let me just say to you, I'm not trying to belittle your situation. If that's the case, you press in and get a team to help you. You get a good doctor who's going to help you get things chemically in a healthy balance, because there are all kinds of things that can be thrown off when our chemistry is out of balance. You get a good therapist who's going to help you learn some strategies for coping with that issue, and you don't feel small or faithless because of that. And you press into a small group, whether it's a discipleship group, an adult small group, or a group in Celebrate Recovery. But you get into a Christian support group that's going to help you learn to trust Christ on a daily basis. And those things put together will make a gigantic difference in your life. Are you with me on that? We don't ever want to be foolish enough to treat everything as if we never, if we're people of faith, we should never have to embrace the clinical help that God provides for us. Hey, every form of healing is a gift from God, and we want to embrace all of that. So we close on this note. The Message version of Matthew 6:34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard thing comes up when the time comes. Isn't that wonderful? So I want to just ask you as we conclude, what's weighing on you? What are you carrying? What stresses you out? Is it finances? Is it a health issue? Is it your kids? Is it a relationship? What's worrying you? Would you like for the Lord to be your shepherd and to carry that load for you? Would you like to feel that taken off of your shoulders and put squarely on Him? Because He'd love to make that happen. He would love to replace your stress, fear, and worry with just an overwhelming sense of His peace. And if you're at the place that you've never stepped across the line of faith, He'd love to, for the very first time, become the shepherd of your life. Would you join me as we go to the Lord together in prayer? God, You are good all the time. You demonstrate Your goodness to us in so many different ways. You've made it most clear through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Thank You for being our shepherd. We ask You to just be that in very real and tangible ways. We need Your guidance. We need Your protection. We need Your provision. We get so stressed out and hung up on the things of just daily life, family life, finances. Oh God, would You be our shepherd? Would You carry us? Would You save and bless us? Why don't you just, in your own heart, just ask Him to simply do that. Oh God, I need You to be my shepherd today. Whatever it is that's stressing you that you're carrying, would you just right now give that over to Him? Would you name it? Would you ask Him to be the shepherd over that? And if you're at a place that you really are recognizing that you haven't stepped across the line of faith to become a follower of Jesus, why don't you take that simple step today by saying, Jesus, I believe You're God. I want You to be the God of my life. I want you to be my shepherd. I'm asking you to forgive me, to change me, and to save me. Jesus, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that's working these things out in us. We trust you with that, and we pray these things, Jesus, in your matchless name. Amen. Hi. Thanks so much for taking time to tune in and listen to the message today through Freedom Online. We would love the opportunity to meet you personally anytime that you're in our area. But if today you heard something that really connected or that maybe you've got questions about, you'd like to talk with somebody or have someone pray with you, we'd love to hear back from you. You can reach us in a couple of different ways. You'll find on the website a contacts link. You can contact me or any member of our leadership directly, or you can call us at the number that you see on the website or at the bottom of the screen now. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope that you have a great week.